I'd like to invite you this evening to the book of Genesis chapter 7 and verse 5. Genesis chapter 7 and verse 5.
In fact, let's do this. Let's go to Genesis chapter 7 verse 1. Let's pick up there and let's start there. It says, "And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of the beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female. Of the fowls also of the air by sevens, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him, and Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. And Noah went in, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood." Then go over to verse 16. And verse 16 reads this way. It says, "And they went in male and female of all flesh as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne tonight. Lord, once again, we thank you for the privilege of assembling together in your house. And then, Lord, once again, being reminded that where two or three are gathered together in your name, there are you in the midst. And so, Lord, may we not take your presence for granted. We do thank you for your presence this evening. We do call upon you to fill us with the Holy Spirit, Lord, that we might be led by your Spirit to understand the words we'll be looking at tonight, that you might be highly exalted and lifted up, and that our lives would be drawn closer to you, and that you would empower us to be the witnesses you've called us to be. So bless your word, bless us, Lord, your people, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. The title of the message this evening is simply, "And the Lord Shut Him In." That's what's important. The Lord is doing this work, and we'll see this here in just a moment. The first thought we're going to look at is that Noah was a different man from the rest of those who lived in his generation or during his time. And then the second thought is a marked distinction between Noah and his family and the rest of the world. There was a difference between him and the world. And then the third thought is just going to be simply a thought for the night, right? A simple teaching for the evening that we have here before us tonight. So as we consider verses 1 through 5, we find that Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. So there was a difference, really, when we look at the life of Noah and when we look at the life of the world, there was certainly a contrast between the two. You know, in this day and age, there ought to be a difference between the people of God and the people of the world that don't know the Lord. There ought to be that difference, and it ought to reflect the Lord in our lives, and also that we might be the light and the witness that God would have us to be to a lost and dying world. And what is that witness? Well, what was the witness of the Lord Jesus Christ like when he was on the earth? I think the Bible says he was easily approached, don't you? That people could come up to him. In fact, a lot of times when the disciples didn't want him to be bothered, or when people were telling certain individuals to quiet down, the Lord would say, "Let them come." Amen? "Let them come and come to me, because they've got a need in their life that they believe that he could answer." And question, did the Lord answer their need? Amen. Every time the Lord would answer. You know what that tells us? That you and I can boldly come before the Lord as his children, because God has blessed us with his righteousness that enables us and grants us free entrance into the throne room of God, and he wants us to call upon him. And so Noah had that relationship. So what was the difference, really? Well, the grace of God had set a division between Noah and the people of the world, or the people of his day. Well, what was that difference? Well, the world really forgets about God, don't they? In fact, they don't even credit the Lord for anything. We thank the Lord when the sun rises, don't we? Don't we thank the Lord for another day, another breath of life and good health, right, when we have it? And by the way, even just the fact that we have health. And so we acknowledge the Lord, and the world says, what does the world say? Well, the world says this was just a big accident and everything just exploded, or nothing exploded. That's even better, right? Nothing exploded and everything was created, and here we are. And really, there's some problems with that because even the certain laws of science say that all life must come from pre-existing life. And yet, I don't know how they get around that idea, but obviously they decided not to acknowledge the Lord as God. And so therefore, God gave them over to this darkness and they believe these lies. And so the world basically forgets God, but Noah feared the Lord, didn't he? He had a reverential respect for the Lord. The world lives for the things that are seen and the things that are temporal. What was Noah living for? The promises of God that are experienced that the world can't see, but that you and I can experience. When God says, listen, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. When you're down, I'll pick you up. The world doesn't see that, but you and I, how many times have we experienced that when we were in a low place and God would pick us up? When we had a certain need and we would call upon the Lord and he would provide those needs and we would see his hand. So the world has this idea that you and I believe in things maybe that are non-existence because they can't see them. Because what does the Bible say? That the world, spiritually speaking, is blind. So how wise would it be for a blind person that has never had sight to say, there's no such thing as the sun. There's no such thing as green grass. There's no such thing as color. They've never seen color. There's no such thing as all these things that would be kind of crazy, wouldn't it? That wouldn't be, even though they can't see them, they can certainly touch a tree, can't they? And they can certainly, and just because they can't see, that doesn't mean that they ought to draw any kind of conclusion, especially when we can tell them, hey, listen, there are things in this world that we can put your hand on. And so you have to, by faith, trust in these things, but there is an evidence of these things. And so likewise also, when we put our faith and trust in the Lord, he gives you and I evidence of these things that he has promised, beginning with the free pardon of sin. That wasn't just our imagination when we got born again. That was an experience that you and I had of being forgiven for all of our sins. And the blind people may tell us, oh, that doesn't exist, but that can't change our heart, can it? And so likewise also for Noah, Noah was in the world, but he was not of the world, and he had a relationship with the Lord, and he loved the Lord. So Noah really lived for the things that are unseen but eternal, and his heart and mind was not tied to this world that was going to perish. By the way, the world is going to perish again, isn't it? And then God will recreate it. So let's focus on the things that are eternal and keep our eyes on the Lord. So Noah was building the ark for 120 years. Isn't that amazing? And there was 8 people against millions of people that were on planet Earth. And so here's a small group, and the world would say, listen, these 8 people, they're insignificant. They have really no clout. They don't have any fame, maybe, and they don't have anything that we would really want of them. And so as we consider them, because there's only 8, then what we think is the truth, and what these small little group, this minuscule group of 8 people, what do they know? Well, they knew God, didn't they? And so here the world was thinking, as it does today, that because the majority was against the small group of believers, that they were right and the believers in the Lord Jesus Christ were wrong, right? They do the same thing today. You know, the sad state of affairs is that one day all those that reject the Lord will stand before a reality they never planned on. And what a dismal existence to think, you know, we're just here and then we're going to be forever gone, just wiped out. Boy, that would be a hopeless kind of a life, wouldn't it? That there's no tomorrow and there's no hope for eternity. And yet that's how they want to live. But the Bible tells us why they do that. And that is because they love their sin and they love darkness more than they care about the things of God. And they don't want to acknowledge the Lord. And so they go in that direction. And one thing the world didn't know, as it doesn't know again today, and that is that wherever God is, that is the right majority. Wherever the Lord is, that's the side you want to be on. So, and again, you've heard this saying, what is popular isn't always right. And what is right is not always popular. So I would rather go with the Lord in spite of what the world says, because you know what the Lord has shown me? That he loves me and he cares for me. How did he show that to you and I? When he died on the cross and took our place. And why did he do that? To give us his righteousness. Let me ask you a question. What kind of love would it be if the Lord says, I love you, but I'm not going to die on the cross for you? That wouldn't really be love, would it? Not the kind of love that we need anyway. But aren't you glad, I'm glad, that the Lord said, I love you. And we don't deserve his love, but he was willing, because he loves us, to go and die on the cross and shed his blood and rise and pay for our sins and rise again on the third day to show us that not only have our sins been forgiven, but we have been given eternal life. And because he lives, you and I will live as well. And so we praise the Lord for that. So this was the difference really between Noah and the rest of those during his time or his generation. And then secondly, we find this marked distinction between Noah and his family and the rest of the world. And we see that really through verses 6 through 16. And the focal point really is verse 16. Notice what it says here. And they that went in, male and female, of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in, speaking about Noah and his family. So here's everything. And by the way, when God shuts a door, no man opens it. And aren't you glad that when God opens a door, no man closes it? So right now, the door is open to all that would come in and enter in and have eternal life. Isn't that wonderful? And by the way, you and I have been privileged to ask people into the kingdom of God. To ask them, listen, what are your spiritual beliefs? What is it that you believe about life? And you know, it's a good practice to just listen to them. Now, years ago when I was younger, as soon as they would say something that wasn't true, I would just stop them right there and say, that's not right. That's not right. But you know what I was doing? I was cutting them off. I was not letting them express themselves and tell me their opinion, because everybody wants to be heard. So I've learned something, and that is to just listen to them and listen to them. And allow them to tell you all these crazy ideas. And I'm going to tell you why in just a moment. And it might be, and you might say, well, wait, we can't do that. Oh, yes, because if they believe something, you and I arguing with them is not going to change it. It's not going to change it. You and I can't save anybody, but the Lord can. And so it's a good thing to listen to them and allow them to unload everything and get it all out, everything as to what they believe. And then when they're done, listen to me, don't cut me off here. Even if they're involved in witchcraft, Brother George, you want to listen about witchcraft? Not really. I don't want to listen, but I want them to express their opinion about what they believe. I have to hear them so that I can ask them something. And so they unload on you on all this. You think I'm interested about witchcraft? Absolutely not. But I'll listen to them and I'll go, And just listen to them, and don't cut them off. Let them take all the time in the world that they want to take. And you know why? Because you are making a friend, and they are looking at you and I and saying, you know what? They care about me, and they care about what I care about. Even if we don't have an interest in it, we gain their favor, and we gain their ear. And then after they finished telling everything that they had to say about what they believe, you got to give them that liberty to tell me what you believe. What is life? Maybe some would say, oh, well, you know, I believe in witchcraft, or I believe in Buddha, or I just believe that there's nothing after this world. Whatever it is they want to say. And then after they're all done, we get to ask them a good question. And that question would be, if what you're believing is not the truth, would you want to know? And you would be surprised how many people would say, I would like to know. I mean, they would be thinking, you were so kind to think. And if I'm wrong, I certainly want to know. And I know a fellow who used this method. And he said, you know, I have never been turned down but one time. And the one time he was turned down, he didn't answer the question. They said, no, I don't want to know. And so he just went on and just talked to him about something else. And he said, after about 3 or 4 minutes, the fellow said, so aren't you going to tell me? And he said, tell you what? That if I'm not right in believing what's true, that you would tell me. And he said, well, you told me you didn't want to know. And he said, well, I do want to know. And he got to tell him about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that is lovingly witnessing with the grace and mercy of God, just the same way you and I were won to the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody made you believe in the Lord. In fact, God was patient and long-suffering, and we went about our way, doing things our way that was wrong, until God got our attention, and then we trusted the Lord. And the statistic is that it takes about 7.8 times for somebody to hear the gospel before they're ready to receive it. So we don't know where they're at. Some might take 9, some might take 8, some might take 6 or 5 or 4, whatever the number might be. Everybody's different. Give them the latitude to lovingly hear the wonderful message of eternal life and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, listen, I'm sure that Noah, because you know nobody else came with him, was witnessing about the judgment of God. Noah, why are you building this ark? Noah, why do you live this way? Well, let me tell you about my Savior. Do you think he may have shared the gospel more than once with people and the way to be spared from the judgment of God? I would dare say he did, but they didn't believe on him. But the most important thing was, see, you and I have not been commissioned to save anyone. But you and I have been commissioned to be the witness for the Lord. The salvation part is God's business because we can't save anybody, but it is important and incumbent upon us that we share. And if we love the Lord, we'll witness for him. And if there's something lacking where maybe we're afraid or we're uncomfortable, then we need to seek the Lord in that and say, Lord, help me that I might understand how to be the witness that you've called me to be. So here's the situation now, and we're going to see this difference here between the family and the rest of the world, the family of Noah. And so, while the door of the ark was open, there was no impassable gulf from people from passing over from one side to the other side. What do I mean by that? Well, Noah could have, but he wouldn't. Noah could have gone back over into the world. But why do you say, Brother George, that he wouldn't? Because he was building the ark. Do you think he believed the word of God? Do you think he wanted anything to do with the world? Not at all, because he knew judgment was coming in a matter. Listen, 120 years may not seem like a long time, but man, look at the 60, 50 years that we've lived, how quick, or the 20 or 30 years. Look how fast we're getting here. And so time is really short when we consider it, right? And so here is Noah, and he could have gone over to the world, but he wouldn't. But those that were in the world, they could come over into the ark. They could come over and put their faith in Noah's God. And so, again, Noah wouldn't go over there, but all those who would hear, believe, and trust the Lord for their salvation could pass over to the Lord's side and be with Noah and be preserved from the judgment of God that was surely going to come into the world. Question, is there another judgment coming of God into this world? Absolutely there is. So again, there was a great door that stood open, and all who would enter in had 120 years to enter into that ark, that protection place. And maybe they may have made a comment, you know, that looks like a gigantic casket. But you know, the way to life is through death, isn't it? The way through life is through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so now, what happens here at the end? Now the great door of God's mercy and long-suffering came to a close. And as we contemplate and as we consider, let's consider the lesson for tonight. The church of God stands very much in the same condition and in the same place that Noah and his family stood. And that is that we are to be the light of the world, aren't we? Amen. We're to be the witness for the Lord. Do you know the door of the ark, or the door of opportunity for salvation, is still open? But there is coming a day, is there not, that the door is going to be closed. But right now the door is open, and it's our business with all of our might that we might persuade, constrain, and compel men to come into God's ark of salvation. And that is, of course, found in the person and of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the way of salvation. And why is that? Why should we be the witnesses that God would have us to be? And that is because the time is coming when each man in death, we live, you know, praise the Lord, if we live 70, 80 years, whatever it is, and if we live any more, consider every day a blessing. But that's going to pass one day, isn't it? And we'll stand before the Lord. And God, even, not either one way, by death or the Lord's return. So what's going to happen? Well, we're going to pass out of this life, and this life is just a vapor, as the Lord says. And so it's important that we take that into account for ourselves. Lord, let me be faithful to you and to care about souls and to share the gospel message in love and to just strike up a conversation and just watch what the Lord will do when we present the gospel by asking people, listen, if what you're believing, by listening to them and befriending to them, if what you're believing is not true, would you want to know the truth? Try it and see how many people will say, you know, I would like to know. I don't want to die believing something that's wrong and it affect me throughout all eternity and see what happens. But God wants us to be that witness because, again, either by our death and people are slipping out into eternity how often? Every day. Or by the Lord's return. How close is the Lord's return? Any moment. It could happen at any moment. There is nothing holding the Lord back. There's nothing you can look to in the Bible that you would say, this needs to take place before the Lord can come back. He can come back at any time. So imagine when it happens. Imagine when it happens. When we hear the shout and the trump of God. And then all of a sudden, everything changes, doesn't it? Everything changes. But while we have today, let us work, amen, for the glory of God and for the mercy of God to lost souls. Would you stand with me as we prepare for our prayer time? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne. We do thank you again for the opportunity that you give us to be your servants, Lord. And may we be reminded of that. May we not get so caught up in the temporal things that are passing away and forget, Lord, about the things that are eternal and the things that matter most to you, Lord. You've bought us with your blood. We are your children, your servants, Lord. May we be reminded of that, and may we count it a privilege and an honor to serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords in telling others about you. We ask that you bless as we break off for prayer. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.